Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, our first guest Hall of Fame inductee tonight is former Cowboys running back and Broncos, Giants, and Falcons head coach Dan Reeves. Coach has been a wonderful friend of the show over the years. He's a true treasure to us and the football world as a whole. He was born in Rome, Georgia, and grew up in Americus, Georgia, where he played football, baseball, and basketball in high school. He won the MVP trophy at the Georgia High School Football All-Star Game and was named All-State in basketball in 1961. Played his college ball at the University of South Carolina, where he was a three-year letterman, set several school records as a quarterback, and also played right field on their baseball team. When he left South Carolina, he was their all-time leading passer. He was inducted into the Gamecocks Hall of Fame in 1977 and the South Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame in 2006. He was somehow an undrafted free agent signed by the Dallas Cowboys in 1965, but also got an offer from the San Diego Chargers of the AFL and my hometown Pittsburgh Pirates to play baseball. Opted to play running back from the Cowboys from 1965 to 1972. And over the course of his playing career, he rushed for nearly 2,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, added nearly 1,700 more receiving yards, and had 17 receiving touchdowns. He was a part of the Cowboys' 1971 Super Bowl championship team, went on to become one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL, leading his teams to a 190, 165, and 2 record in 4 Super Bowl appearances. And it's with a great deal of honor, respect, and appreciation that we induct Coach into our guest Hall of Fame tonight. Good evening, Coach. Chris and Bob here. Thank you so much for all you've done for us and our listeners over the years.
Well, you're awful kind. It's been my pleasure, and looking forward to it tonight.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach, I want to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on another former Gamecock, and that's quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Here's a guy that showed some flashes of brilliance when he was with the Dolphins, but since joining the Titans, the guy has become one of the top quarterbacks in the league, currently 6th in the quarterback rating. Talk about how this guy was able to go from, you know, maybe a Miami system that just didn't fit him to all of a sudden being one of the top players in the league.
Well, I think that's true with a lot of people. You got to get in the right system, the right coach, you know, where they have a system that really fits what your, you know, talent is. And I think that's what he's found. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, how good the overall team is, offense, defense, you know, special team. So it all works together, and I think he's done a great job of fitting in and, you know, doing his part to make it successful.
Coach, I also want to get your thoughts on some of the local teams here, starting out with the University of Georgia. Here's a team that's always among the top recruiting teams in the country, got a lot of great talent that comes in. Unfortunately for Bulldog fans, just haven't been able to get over the top. When you look at the University of Georgia, what do you think they need to do differently in order to get themselves into a national title game?
Well, you know, I think they, you know, do a good job of being competitive. You know, to get over the top, it's not easy. When you look around, they play it in my opinion, the toughest conference you can play in. And every week is, you know, is a challenge. And certainly, you know, people kind of look at the University of Georgia, and if they can beat them, you know, we've arrived. So every game is that they play is a big game for the other team. So, you know, they just got to keep, you know, plugging away. They certainly have got an opportunity here in Georgia, I think, is without question, east of the Mississippi, the best, you know, state to recruit from, because the high schools, you know, have, you know, spring practice, you know, they can do a lot of stuff and teach kids how to play when they're young.
And Coach, thinking about your South Carolina Gamecocks, a team that's 2-8 right now, but you talk about recruiting here and playing in the toughest conference in the country. Is a team like South Carolina, they got to catch lightning in the bottle, you know, for a year or so, because trying to recruit against Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson right there, obviously, in their own state, that's got to be an awfully difficult task for a coach to be able to come in and recruit against all of them and be competitive.
Well, I mean, there's no question that is a challenge because you look around and like you said, you named all of the, you know, the great colleges around, and even there's some small colleges, And they're just not enough kids to, you know, to fill all of those spots. And you certainly got an opportunity to, you know, to recruit some, you know, great kids and so forth. So, you know, it's tough. But, you know, to get over the hump and make it to where you're one of those Georgia or Clemson, you know, a team that's successful year in and year out, you know, that's what they've got to, you know, try to do.
Bob, questions for Coach?
Yeah, Coach, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and congrats again, and thanks for continuing to join us when we call. So we appreciate that. And Coach, we had talked in the past about how you were a multi-sport athlete growing up in Georgia. I just wanted to know, when did you know, Coach, when football would be your calling, that's where you have to put the majority of your attention?
Well, I think from the time I was, you know, in grammar school, you know, we played, you know, football every week. My dad had two brothers, and, you know, we all lived in the same area. Four kids, three boys and three, and one girl and two families, and four boys and one girl and another family. So we had, you know, some playing tackle football when we were kids with no pads on. So, you know, it's just something that we did, you know, every weekend. I mean, that was what we did. Whatever sport it was, you know, that's what we played. It was, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to, you know, play because we had enough people to play, you know, baseball, football, and basketball. So it was, you know, a great way to grow up. And, you know, growing up on a farm, it certainly beat, you know, milking them cows and picking cotton and, you know, pulling corn. So it was a lot more fun than that.
And Coach, you'll always, your name will always be aligned with the great Tom Landry. You were in that unique position where you actually played for the man and you were able to coach with the man. You know, when you were his offensive coordinator, et cetera, your interactions with him, what, did you take throughout your head coaching career? What things did he pass on to you that you thought were the most important?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. His organization, was beyond anybody's that that I ever came in contact with during that time. And then, you know, when I became, you know, head coach myself. He was just so well organized, had everything, you know, planned from, you know, every single practice. We always had a reason that we were out on the field. We weren't just there, you know, to be there. We were there to accomplish something, and I always tried to do the same thing, you know, of trying to teach the game, you know, to players, because you never, you know, have it. You don't know everything. You know, you can continue to learn, you know, every single practice, every single game. And he was just great at, you know, at teaching us, you know, how to play the game. And it wasn't just offense. It was, you know, knowing the defense and how do you attack the defense. So, you know, playing special teams. I mean, I'd been a quarterback in high school and college, and except for holding for extra points and field goals, you know, I didn't cover punts and kickoffs and, you know, return them and so forth until I got to the Cowboys. And, you know, that was something that really helped me, you know, make the team, you know, was the ability to do that so you could stay around and then eventually won a starting job, you know, on offense.
Coach, going back to your days, you know, with the Cowboys, staying there and looking at the guys that you had on both sides of the ball, so much talent in those early 1970s and really through the entirety of the 70s for the Cowboys. But during your time there, a lot of great characters on those teams, you know, Don Meredith and Walt Garrison and Mike Ditka and all the, who were the guys that were just fun to be around?
You named a bunch of them. Walt Garrison was my roommate. Leroy Jordan lived next door to me, you know, and our wives and all were, you know, best friends and still are to this day. So yeah, we were just a very close group. You know, we went to training camp and spent, you know, like, oh, 4 weeks, you know, in Thousand Oaks, California. So, you know, we had time to spend a lot of time away from our families and get to know each other, you know, better too. So it was just a great time to be able to bond, you know, back in that time. And, you know, one of the toughest games we had, people ask me all the time, who's the toughest defense you ever played against? And I said, there ain't any question about it. You know, it was our own defense. you know, we scrimmaged them all the time, and all we ever played for was whoever won, you know, got steaks, and whoever lost got hot dogs. So I ate a lot of hot dogs because our defense was really good. But, you know, Coach Landry had a flex defense, and, you know, it was a 4-3 defense, but everybody had a certain gap to control, and then he had guys like Bob Lilly and Leroy Jordan, and they really kind of had those linebackers, to where the middle linebacker, and Leroy in that case, could go from one side to the other, and they kind of protected him and kind of put him right where the ball carrier was coming. So it was just a very organized, defense, and that was always the toughest game we had, was always our inner squad game.
And playing for those steaks and hot dogs, right? I mean, how did you guys end up not getting hurt? And, to your point, playing against that defense every day in practice. And I mean, obviously the game is so different now than what it was like in the 60s and the 70s. But how did you guys stay away from, getting into Sunday and being already beaten up by the defense that you were practicing against all week?
Well, I mean, that was training camp. Once we started and got into the, preseason and started playing games, it definitely, eased up some then. But, the 4 to 6 weeks that we were in training camp was, it was brutal. And I didn't say people didn't get hurt, because I definitely got some injuries during that time and missed some playing time. But, it got you ready for the regular season. And like I said, if you could play against our defense, we could play against anybody.
Bob, one more for Coach before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Coach. I mean, I was looking at some of your old coaching days, and your first year as the offensive coordinator for Dallas was also Tony Dorsett's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, when he first came to training camp, your thoughts, did you think he needed to work on anything? He gained 1,000 yards that year. Again, you brought him back in his last year. When you were coaching Denver, his last year in the league, you actually had him on the team, and he still ran pretty well. But just some comments about the great Tony Dorsett.
Well, first of all, I would have never been a head coach if I hadn't had the opportunity to coach Tony Dorsett. I got a lot of credit that I really didn't deserve, because he was just unbelievably talented. I played running back myself, and I just couldn't imagine somebody having that kind of speed and quickness. And also the work ethic that Tony had. You're that talented and being a, a high pick like he was, and being, such a great reputation. Nobody outworked him. Lifting weights, as well as before and after practice, doing the things you had to do, to be the very best. He was a great example. When you look at it and you've got your best player, working his tail off, and it's easier, to see those other guys, trying to do the same thing.
Well, Coach, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show, help us celebrate our 9th anniversary, and obviously now a member of our Guest Hall of Fame. Your contributions have been outstanding over the years. You've been so kind and generous with your time with us. So we thank you very, very much for that, and appreciate you more than words can say.
Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate the opportunity. And don't forget me now. I'm not coaching anymore, but, don't forget to call me. I can always talk.
You can do that.
We would definitely
be
calling you back. We're already looking forward to the next one. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
All right,
family,
Merry
Coach.
Christmas. Happy holidays to y'all.
Stay well,
thank
Coach.
You so much. All right. Take care.
See you,
Take
Coach.
Real. All right. Bye.
That is former head coach Dan Reeves, and just an absolute treasure, Bob, to us, obviously, here on the show, and to the football world. Every time that we get to spend time with him, it's just not enough. And hopefully we get the opportunity to catch up with Coach again soon.
Yeah, especially a guy that played the game and then became a legendary coach. There's just too much ground to cover, Chris. And as you'll agree, that the time just flies by with him.
Yes, it does. All right, we've got our next inductee, Todd Washington, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Todd on the other side of this real quick station break.